We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text Number 24. Yamaraj instructs his messengers. Etavatalam makanir haranaya pungsam. Etavatalam akanir haranaya pungsam. Sankirtanam bhagavato gunakarmanam nam. Kirtanam bhagavato gunaka Vikrushaputam agavanyada jamilapi Narayane timriyamana iyaya mukti Etavata. With this much, alam, sufficient, akarnir haranaya, for taking away the reactions of sinful activities, pungsam, of human beings, sankirtanam, congregational chanting, bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna, of the transcendental qualities. Karmanamnam, and of his names, according to his activities and pastimes. Vikrishya, crying to without offense. Putram, his son, agavan, the sinful, yat, since, ajamila api, even ajamila, narayana, the Lord's name narayana, iti, thus, riyamanaha, dying, iaya, achieved, muktim, liberation. Translation. Therefore, it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting of his qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. Even if one chants the holy name of the Lord with improper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offenses. Ajamila, for example, was extremely sinful, but while dying, he merely chanted the holy name. And although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation because he remembered the name of Narayan. Mukam karoti vachalam bangum langayate girim yaki pantamaham bande shigurum tiritaginam. O magyana timirandasya gyananjana sharakaya chukshuramiditam yena tasamai shigurave namaha. So I will read the purport and comment at the same time, because if I just read the whole purport, you'll fall asleep. So I will read the purport. Paragraph is three pages long, so better we just keep on speaking, so you can wake up when you hear me speak. And okay, purport. In the assembly of Raghunath Das Goswami's father, Haridas Thakur confirmed that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is liberated, even if he does not chant completely inoffensively. Smarta Brahmins and Mayavadis do not believe that one can achieve liberation in this way, but the truth of Haridas Thakur's statement is supported by many quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam. So I went to India in 1972, and when we first came, we were criticized by the caste Brahmanas that, you know, you cannot chant the holy name of the Lord. You cannot become Brahmanas. First, you have to take birth in the Brahman family. then you can become Brahman. So they were criticizing Prabhupada, why you're giving in Brahman initiation, why you're giving sannyas to these mlechas. So there is another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto. I don't think we have it here, do we? Do we have fifth canto? No, this is 7 and 6 and 3 and 1. Okay, that's all right. I'll just try to remember the verse. It's in there? Okay, we got it. 5:135. It's a beautiful verse. Chapter 1, verse 35. My dear king, a devotee who has taken shelter of the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord can transcend the influence of the 6 material whips, hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. And he can conquer the mind and 5 senses. However, this is not very wonderful for a pure devotee of the Lord, because even a person beyond the jurisdiction of the 4 castes, an untouchable, is immediately relieved of bondage to material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. So there you go. You just chant even once. Why do we chant 16 rounds? Because it has to be without offenses also. It has to be some quality to the chanting. So now, how is it that we don't have to take another birth? Prabhupada explains in the purport. The brahmana says you have to change your body, the caste brahmins. You have to change your body in order to take up this devotional service and practice. So first you've got to be born in a brahmin family. Prabhupada explains in this purport of 5:135 that here he says the brahmanas contend without a brahminical body one cannot be accepted as a brahmana. Being freed, so herein it is said, even a vidura, vigata, chandala, fifth class untouchable is freed if he utters the holy name even once. So what does this mean? Here Prabhupada explains. When a person, even a chandala, is initiated by a pure devotee into chanting the holy name of the Lord, his body changes as he follows the instructions of the spiritual master. So we have changed our body. We have got Brahman, listen to that, our subtle body. Although one cannot see how his body has changed, we must accept on the grounds of authoritative statements of the Shastras that he changes his body. We cannot see the gross body changing. Chanting the holy name of the Lord immediately changes the subtle body. And because the subtle body changes, the living entity is immediately free from material bondage. So our body changes. We get a Brahmin body when we get initiation and chant the holy name. Also in the first canto, there's another verse in 18th chapter where Sutta Goswami is speaking. And he says, Prabhupada in the purport says that if one is chanting the holy name under the guidance, under the protection of a pure devotee, his chanting is offenseless. So that means you have to follow the instructions, not that you just chant offensively and don't care. You have to actually take seriously and sincerely the instructions of the pure devotee. So I'll read the next 2nd paragraph. In his commentary on this verse, for example, Sridhar Swami gives the following quotation. Sayam patakinam pakya dukkha grama vimuchate. If one always chants the holy name of the Lord with great devotion in the evening and in the morning, one can become free from all material miseries. Another quotation confirms that one can achieve liberation if one hears the holy name of the Lord constantly every day with great respect. Anudinam midam adarena shinvan. Another quotation says, Shavanam kirtanam dhyayam hari adbhuta karmana janma karma gunanam chatadarte kila chestitam. One should always chant and hear about the extraordinarily wonderful activities of the Lord. One should meditate upon these activities and one should endeavor to please the Lord. So I'll read one more paragraph. Sridhar Swami also quotes from the Puranas, Papakshayascha bhavati smaratam tam aharnisham. One can become free from all sinful reactions simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord day and night, aharnisham. Furthermore, he quotes from Bhagavatam 6.3.31, Tasvat Sankirtanam Vishnor Jagamagalam Anghasam Mahatam Apikoravya Vityaikan Tikanish Kritam. So, here it says, one can be freed from reactions by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. This is very significant. Remembering, how to remember the lotus feet of the Lord means if you chant. Chanting means remembering. If you read Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme, you will find 17 times in the purport, Prabhupada says, remembering means chanting Hare Krishna. And he says, sometimes he quotes the whole mantra, sometimes he'll just say chant Hare Krishna mantra 17 times. Remembering means chanting. So if you want to remember the lotus feet of the Lord, you have to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay, next paragraph. The word alam, which is used in this verse, indicates that simply uttering the holy name of the Lord is sufficient. This word is used with different imports. It's stated in Amarakosha, the most authorized dictionary in the Sanskrit language. Alam bhushana parayapti shakti varana vachakam. The word alam is used to mean ornament, sufficiency, power, and restraint. Here the word alam is used to indicate that there is no need of any other process, for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is sufficient. Even if one chants imperfectly, one becomes free from all sinful reactions by chanting. So here again, Prabhupada says, you do not need any other process. So that is confirmed. The verse is not quoted, but Harinama, Harinam. Oh, it is quoted later on. Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam. No other way. Nashteva, Nashteva, Nashteva. Only by chanting can you get perfection, especially in this age of Kali. Even if you chant imperfectly, you become free from all sinful reactions by chanting. So in the next paragraph, it explains how Ajamila chanted imperfectly. He did three things. See if you can catch it. I'm going to read this paragraph and see if you can catch three things that he did imperfectly. And then I'll ask you, what are those three things? So now you have to listen carefully. The power of chanting the holy name was proved by the liberation of Ajamila. When Ajamila chanted the holy name of Narayan, he did not precisely remember the Supreme Lord. Instead, he remembered his own son. At the time of death, Ajamila certainly was not very clean. Indeed, he was famous as a great sinner. Furthermore, one's physiological condition is completely disturbed at the time of death. And in such an awkward condition, it would certainly have been very difficult for Ajamila to have chanted clearly. Nevertheless, Ajamila achieved liberation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, what is to be said of those who are not sinful like Ajamila? It is to be concluded that with a strong vow, one should chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For thus one will certainly be delivered from the clutches of Maya by the grace of Krishna. Okay, so there were three reasons here why Ajamila chanted imperfectly. Well, tell me one reason. Raise your hand if you can remember. One reason. Why did he chant? Yes? He was sinful. He was a sinful person. So he wasn't chanting purely. He wasn't chanting the pure name.
He didn't exactly remember.
He didn't remember Krishna. He was calling his son. He was calling his son and he was sinful. What was the third reason why he was chanting imperfectly? Yes? Yeah, it was the time of death. He couldn't pronounce. His pronunciation wasn't correct. He couldn't pronounce properly. When you're dying, you can't. Usually, I've seen people dying and they can't speak usually for a few days before they die. Some. Some can are all the way up to the end. But it's very difficult to speak. You can hear, some people go blind, some people lose their sense of touch, and some people can't speak. And so these are the three reasons. Okay, now we will read the next paragraph. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is recommended even for persons who commit offenses, because if they continue chanting, they will gradually chant offenselessly. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, one increases his love for Krishna. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, prema purvarta mahan, one's main concern should be to increase one's attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to increase one's love for Him. So how is it that even if you commit offenses, you should still continue chanting Hare Krishna? Because if you practice makes perfect. It is difficult to control the mind, Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says, yes, it's difficult, but by practice and by detachment, then you can control the mind. So by practicing, we may get one mantra perfectly. We may chant once perfectly. So that's why we have to keep practicing. And that one mantra will liberate us. We have to continue chanting what to do. So this gives us some hope. It's not hopeless, even if, you know, now I still commit offenses. But we should try to avoid the offenses to the holy name, especially in attention. Okay, next paragraph. In this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:19:24. Evam dharmair manushanam u davat manivedinam mayi sanjayate bhakti konyorto sva vashishate major Uddhava. The supreme religious system for human society is that by which one can awaken his dormant love for me. Commenting on this verse, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes the word bhakti by saying, premai vokta, ka anya artha asya. In the presence of bhakti, what is the necessity of liberation? Right. So not only does the holy name give liberation, it gives bhakti also. There is a verse, if I can remember it, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna manta hoite hobe sangsara mochan, Krishna manta hoite pabe krishnaer charan. So two things you can get by chanting. You can get liberation, get free from sinful reactions, and you can also get the lotus feet of Krishna. So if you want to go back to home, back to Godhead, if you want to serve Krishna's lotus feet, then you have to chant Hare Krishna. You have to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Not only do you get liberation, you get bhakti by chanting Hare Krishna. It awakens your natural Shavanadi Shuddha Chitte Kore Udai. This is Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Is in the heart of the living entity. And by chanting Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kore, it arises, your love comes out. This is the match we need to strike the fire of bhakti to help us return to our spiritual life. Okay, next paragraph. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also quotes this verse from the Padma Purana. Nama parala yuktanam naman eva harantyagam avishranti payuktani tanyeva takarani cha. Even if in the beginning one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with offenses, one will become free from such offenses by chanting again and again. Papa kshayascha bhavati swaratam tam aharnisham. One becomes free from all sinful reactions if one chants day and night, following the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who quoted the following verse. Hari nama, hari nama, hari nama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyata. In this age of quarrel, and hypocrisy. The only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. If the members of the Krishna conscious movement strictly follow this recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their position will always be secure. So, we have come to the end of the purport. So, we can speak a few more things about this. How was Ajamila chanting offenselessly? He was committing so many sins. How is he doing offenseless chanting? Because he didn't chant on the strength of, he didn't sin on the strength of chanting. He didn't make some sins and they say, okay, I will chant and get rid of my sins. That's offensive chanting. If you do some sin and then you say, oh, no problem, I'll just chant Hare Krishna and I'll remove the reaction to this sin. And so Jamila, he was tricked by Krishna, Prabhupada said. Krishna in the heart told him, name your son Narayana. Name your son Narayana. He instructed him in the heart. And so he called his son Narayana, and the whole day and night he was chanting, Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. But he wasn't chanting offensively. He was chanting Namabhas. So this is Namabhas chanting. This is, the clearing, a clean, he was cleaning his heart. And he got liberation, but not all at once. He didn't go straight back to Godhead. He had to come back and purify himself and practice devotional service. So sometimes we wonder if we continue our devotional service, will our family get some benefit? Sometimes we wonder because we're attached to our families, some of us. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said in one of his books that if a pure devotee is born in a family 100 generations before, 100 generations after, are liberated. If a preacher, Madhyama, second middle devotee, second class devotee, is born in a family 14 generations before, 14 generations after, are liberated. And if a neophyte devotee is born in a family, if a beginner, 3 generations before, 3 generations after, will be liberated. So you may wonder, you know, they're sinful their whole life, how they're going to be liberated. Jai Panchatattva Ki Jai. How will they be liberated? So devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what sort of liberation do your family members get? What sort of liberation? So Srila Prabhupada answered, the liberation they get is they will become devotees of Krishna. They will practice devotional service. They will somehow become, they will get Agata Sukriti from your chanting, and they will become devotees one day, one fine day, without even trying, without even doing anything. They will get some Sukriti from your chanting, Bhakti Sukriti. So, in India, people, not so many people want to chant Hare Krishna. Instead, they want to do all these big ritualistic ceremonies. Here it says, their minds... Oh, that's the next verse, sorry. It's verse 25. Anyway, that's all right. Because their minds are attracted to ritualistic ceremonies in the Vedas, their intelligence has become dull, and they waste their time trying to perform these sacrifices. So Prabhupada says, you know, why do they want to do these sacrifices? Why are people attracted? Because they're very grandiose. They're like a big scene. It's a huge ceremony and they spend lots of money. And Prabhupada mentions in that purport for tomorrow also that we had to hire these brahmanas to do our sacrifices in Vrindavan, because otherwise the Brijvasis would not accept our installation as bona fide. So at the same time, the Harinam was going on, and Prabhupada was with his godbrothers. Prabhupada was, if you watch the video of Srila Prabhupada at the installation of the Vrindavan deities, he was very nonchalant. It was like not a big thing for him. He was just kind of mechanically doing it. He was, okay, they put something in his hand, and he put it in, and it was like, he just watched the video. He was, but you know, when you see Prabhupada chanting, then he's really into it. So he said the real installation was the chanting. Now that you'll read tomorrow, tomorrow's verse. I hope you don't mind whoever's doing tomorrow's class. That I speak on your verse too. But it's part of this, you know, why no other way? Why no other way? Why not by the Vedas? And, when Prabhupada was with his godbrothers, and his godbrothers were watching us devotees doing the sacrifice, and they told Prabhupada, they're not doing it properly, they're not doing it properly. So Prabhupada said to his godbrothers, it's okay, they're just practicing. So, not important. He didn't take it as very important, these sacrifices. He didn't take it as important. So, why are the rituals insufficient? Because the mind goes on the material platform. The holy name takes you right on the spiritual platform. Sridhar Swami makes a comment that just like a doctor, he may not know that there is a wonderful medicine called Mrita Sanjeevani, that even if you're dying, it can bring you back to life. He said, so instead the doctors give you something called Trikatu. It's a three bitter medicines, Neem, Kalmeg, and Chirta. So very bitter. Without knowing there's a very nice medicine you can have, they give you these bitter ones. So he compares the paths of karma, gyan, and yoga to the three bitter medicines in Ayurvedic medicine. And the tonic of immortality, the Mrita Sanjeevani, that can revive a dead man, that is chanting the holy name of the Lord. So better don't get deviated, don't get sidetracked. Take the sweet medicine, the nectar medicine of chanting the holy name. So later on in this chapter, verse 28, there's a verse where Yamaraj says, Paramahansas are exalted persons who have no taste for material enjoyment, who drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with Paramahansas, who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. And so I was just seeing the marks on the lotus feet of Krishna, the lotus flower. The lotus flower, if you meditate on that, we're going to talk about that in our retreat also. If one of the meanings of the lotus flower on Krishna's lotus feet is that your mind becomes like a bee. And when you meditate on the lotus, because the bee takes nectar from the lotus, so our mind will take nectar, will increase our greed for nectar if we meditate on that lotus of Krishna's feet. So that's also found on the feet of Gornitai too. So you can meditate on their lotus feet. They are here with us. It's Panchatattva. So Prabhupada was... Here it says, my dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with Paramahansas. So Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Gorakhpur in 1971, and so many Indians were there in the audience. So Prabhupada said, and Yamaraj is saying, bring to me all those persons who do not become life members of ISKCON. They all became life members of ISKCON. And so, yeah, if the pure devotee says something, people listen. They're afraid they'll get cursed. They'll get cursed or something. So, yeah. And so this chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, if you chant offensively, there is no loss. Even if you fall down, there's no loss. There is a... in the fifth chapter of first canto, Narada Muni is instructing Vyasadeva, and he says that If you perform your varnasham duties perfectly, but you have no attraction for Krishna, if you're not a devotee, then it's useless, no benefit. But if you're a devotee, you may sometimes come to Krishna consciousness, a pakva, and you may not be pakka, you may not be a very good devotee, and you may fall down and go away, but there is no loss. You have not lost anything. So we should all chant the holy name with all our hearts and all our minds. There is one story, perhaps you have heard this story before, I heard it last year actually, about somebody in Eastern Europe, or maybe even Russia, who was, this is a true story, that he had a near-death experience, and he was taken by the Yamadutas to Yamraj, and Yamraj was listening, they were speaking, you did all these sins, the whole list of sins. Then he asked anything good he did. And so they said, yeah, one good thing he did. The Harinam party was going past him, and he waved to the Harinam party. And the whole court of Yamaraj said, oh, this is real. How many times did he wave? Yamaraj asked. 4 times. So Yamaraj said, okay, you can go back. I will send you back. What will you do if you go back? He said, I will join the Hare Krishna movement. So he became a devotee. So Harinam is very, very powerful. We do not know what benefit these people are getting by seeing, by hearing the Harinam. Gita says even if you hear you hear about Krishna, then you will transcend the path of birth and death. So this is an example, a true example. So we should also be very, very happy to chant the holy name. We should have hope, don't give up hope, and keep on chanting. So I'll stop here if there's any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. You have a doubt about Ajamila. Yeah, he went to. It doesn't say, but he definitely went to the spiritual world, either Vaikuntha or Goloka, but it didn't mention. But he was chanting Narayan, so most probably he went to Vaikuntha. He wasn't chanting Govinda, Krishna. He was chanting Narayan. Yeah. How to understand? How to understand which world you're going to go to? Is generally you go to which world you worship your Ishtadev. Who is your Ishtadev? Your Ishtadev is Gonita, you will go to Navadvip. Your Ishtadev is Radha Krishna, you will go to Goloka. Your Ishtadev is Ram, you will go to Ayodhya. If you want to see Krishna in Dwaraka, you will go to Dwaraka. But also Brahma Samhita says you can go to two places at the same time, Navadvip and Goloka. So if Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says you can go to two places at the same time. Yeah. Yes, we are in the path of Lord Chaitanya, so therefore our path is to Goloka and Navadvip. That is the way our path will go. But many people in India, they want to go to, they worship Ram. That's okay. We don't want to. Lord Chaitanya tried to change Murari Gupta, who is Hanuman. He couldn't change him. He couldn't change him from worshipping Hanuman. And he said, no, that your faith is perfect. He couldn't change him. So I know I was giving one Bhakti Shastri class, and one devotee came up to me after the class, and she said, you know, I hate to admit it, but, you know, I really like Ram much better than Krishna. Because, you know, Krishna, Ram had only one wife. He was a good king. And Krishna, no, I just can't worship Krishna. I said, that's okay. Just worship Ram. We don't want to change people. Prabhupada said, we don't even want to change people from Christian to Hindu. Let them stay in their religion and chant the name of Christ. But develop love for God. Develop love for God. When he was preaching in Iran, a Muslim country, he was hearing the namaz on the loudspeakers 5 times a day. So Prabhupada asked the devotee, what are they saying? And the devotee said, they are saying the names of Allah. And Prabhupada said, oh, that's very nice. And the devotee said, but isn't it better they chant Hare Krishna mantra? Prabhupada said, are you asking me to be sectarian? No, Prabhupada, he was pleased with any devotion anybody was showing in any religion. He was pleased. And then those devotees, they made a maha mantra with the names of Allah, and they went in the streets, and thousands of people were following them. But then the revolution came, and that was finished. But Prabhupada, he appreciated. I remember I was in the airport in Calcutta one time, leaving. And there was one Muslim, and he was sitting and chanting the names of Allah, just like Bengali bhajan. Same, you know, if you would think he's chanting to Krishna, you know, that his names were different. It wasn't Govinda, it was Allah this, Allah that. But it sounded just like a Bengali. He was Bengali Muslim. He was chanting Bengali Allah Muslim bhajans. And so devotion was there. You know, everybody else was on their cell phone. He was chanting, you know, bhajans. He has some devotion. Any other questions? Yes. Which topic?
About Muslim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we had a discussion about Chankazi.
Oh, yeah, Chankazi. Uh-huh.
Did he, after the conversation with Chaitanya, did he chant Hare Krishna or was he still Muslim?
No, he became devotee. He followed Lord Chaitanya. He went on Harinam. He went on Harinam because after, I just read the story yesterday. So he was already chanting Lord Chaitanya. He was chanting Hare Krishna when he was discussing with Lord Chaitanya. He was already chanting, and Lord Chaitanya said, "You are already chanting the holy name." So because he was asking the blessings, the mercy, and Lord Chaitanya said, "You already chanted." And then he followed. Then Lord Chaitanya went on Harinam, and Chankazi followed him. He went on Harinam. That's Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, if you read, this is 7th, Adi Lila, 17th chapter, around verse 230, 40, like that. You just read the story. It explains there. He was chanting Krishna. I mean, because he was saying, you know, these Hindus were chanting Krishna. And the Prabhupada said that's another example of Namabhas. That if the Muslims were joking, And they came to complain to the Chankazi. You know, these Hindus, they're chanting Krishna all the time, chanting Hari and Krishna and Hari and Krishna. And they said, yeah, they're chanting. Why are you chanting? The Chankazi said. They said, yeah, because, you know, we don't know what kind of tantra they're doing, but as soon as we start saying the name Krishna, it doesn't come out from our mouth. It doesn't stop coming from our mouths. That's part of that story. And they complain to the Qazi that, you know, so much Harinam is going on here in our village. Yeah, he actually, yeah, you read it. It's there, Adi 17, 240, 230. Yeah.
In the same workshop, we had with Urmila. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example,
yeah.
How other than
Well,
yeah.
Well, they would. They can. It can happen in two ways, but I know there are some examples already now of Christian ministers who became devotees, and they continue preaching the Christian philosophy, but they have the four regulative principles, and they have chanting Hare Krishna also. There, people chant Hare Krishna, but they also follow the Bible and Christ and worship Christ. And there is interfaith going on. You have to do interfaith communication. There is that going on in Washington, D.C. They have big interfaith, and they meet with the Muslims. There's even Muslim ladies chanting. They have Jewish kirtan. They chant Hare Krishna. And the Muslim ladies chanting Hare Krishna. But they follow their own religion, but they chant Hare Krishna also. That's one way. Now, Prabhupada also said you can chant your names that you have to. That's another way that it would spread. But definitely the cow killing would be stopped. And even in that conversation, it was interesting. Chankazi said that we have two paths, Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. In the Nivritti Marg, there's no meat eating. Meat eating is forbidden. It's vegetarian. He said that. That's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chankazi admitted, we do have Nivritti Marg also, the path of detachment. And there is no meat eating. There's no cow killing. And so, yeah, it would be, people could keep their religions, but they would also chant Hare Krishna, follow the regular principles, and they can also chant their own names too. They can chant their own names of God, and that way they will be pacified. But they would also eat prasadam too. Yeah.
Could you kindly share your experience with the one
day? I'll do that today, later on. You have to come to the retreat for that. Yeah, 5 minutes is not enough time. I will speak on that, how we have different relationships with the Holy Name. And I had near-death experience also. Experience with the Holy Name. I will share that today. No. I didn't go so far. I went to the void. I went to the void. I was under anesthesia, and everything was just black. But I was conscious. It was void. I lost my personality. I lost my identity. Gross and subtle body gone. Only void. Yeah, I didn't go so far. I didn't go out. Oh, I didn't go down, no. I went up, actually. I didn't go down to Yamaraj. I went up, but not out. Not to the Brahman. Not to Goloka. That was the frustration. I was stuck in the void. Really bad. Anyway. Okay, any other questions? Okay. Yeah? Me, no. I didn't go. I have been to Pakistan for a visa. Twice to Pakistan, and once to Bangladesh. But I haven't gone preaching, no. I have enough continents and... Ram.
So I asking, why your name is special one month every year, that they are every day not eating, fasting, whole day, one time they eat and sundown they eat.
Who's this?
The Muslim.
Oh, yeah, Muslim. That's for 1 month only.
Yes.
1 month. Ram. It's Ram. They've got the name of Ram.
It's Ram Dan Man.
Yeah.
I said, Ram is the other word. The meaning is Ram Dan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can continue that after also. They can, after they become devotees, they can continue that fasting with the Ram. Yes. Good idea. Okay. Any other questions? Agaishya Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.